You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Research and development. Putting in the man hours to study the science of what you need.
Last week, we put liquid paper on a bee. And it died.
What?
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Can I tell you something without you getting angry? I love you. Yeah, you big guy.
I love you too.
Welcome back into another edition of the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. What is going on, everybody? Man, week 11 is done. We are on to week 12. For those of you keeping score at home, we are down to the last two regular season weeks before the fantasy playoffs start. Holy shit. Holy shit. Trade deadlines are here. A lot of them. Some of you got in week 14, so you got a little bit of time, which is perfect for tonight's episode. But without further ado, let me introduce the better half of the show. Adam, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, Mike, I'm doing fantastic. We got Turkey Day tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday. This will drop to you on Friday. So hope you guys all had a happy Thanksgiving. Dynasty Degenerates, as always, we are back for another special. This time we'll be watching some football, having some food. Hopefully you guys are enjoying your holiday and also winning some fantasy leagues or losing if you're trying to rebuild and you pick the other direction. But I'm doing well, Mike. Let's bring him into another really good one.
Well, that's good. First off and foremost, if you are not subscribed to the newsletter, what are you doing with yourself? The easiest way to stay up to date with everything Destination Devi is doing with all the dope content creators from Ray and Jay Rich all the way down, we got it all. Sign up for the newsletter. And plus, there's a lot of content in there that you won't hear on a podcast, on a YouTube show, nothing. It is absolutely free. The link is down in the description. But man, I echo your sentiments, Adam. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving when you listen to this and enjoying your Black Friday. Hopefully, when you're listening to this, the Iowa Hawkeyes are clinching their spot in the Big Ten championship game. Let's go.
Okay.
Beating the shit out of Nebraska.
Well, Chase, if you're listening to this, and I hope you are, I'm actually going to be pulling for the Iowa Hawkeyes here. So I just, you know, can't root for Nebraska. So
you just want to pull for them because you know it's going to be an easy win in the Big Ten championship game when they play Ohio State.
Well, I want to play Mike. I want to play Mike, yeah.
Let's go. Let's go. Adam, tonight we're going to find some hidden gems in best ball leagues.
We are absolutely going to love this.
The last couple pieces you're going to need to make a deal right now if your trade deadline has not passed. To set yourself up for success in the fantasy playoffs. Ooh, baby. So, if you have paid attention to the show long enough, a while back, we did a Spike Week Consistency Week show where I made a nice spreadsheet. We went through the whole thing. And it was all for 2021. Adam, I have the data now through week 11. The spreadsheet is updated with everybody on it. So, let's just start right off the top, buddy.
Let's do it from the beginning.
Let's look at the quarterback position. First thing when I look at this, Adam, Joe Burrow. Man, I might owe this man an apology. if you go back and listen to the other one, I think we talked shit about Joe Burrow. He's overrated.
Joe Cool, man. Joe Cool's out here balling.
On the Spike Week's consistency spreadsheet, man, he sets up, he's QB4 overall with the number of spike weeks and the number of consistent weeks. So he's got 4 spike weeks on the year.
Yep.
Pretty good. But 8 consistent weeks. The only 2 weeks he wouldn't have made your lineup, obviously, the bye week. But week 8, he was 20th. And week 2, he was 18. So other than that, man, Joe Cool has been Mr. Consistent for you. So yep. I'm sorry, Joe Burrow. I'm sorry I doubted you. Sorry I talked shit about you. Hopefully, well, I guess it would be kind of cool. It'd be a hell of a boost. If we were the people who made you play this way this year, give us a shout out on Twitter. Really help us along.
Yep. Love it, man.
I'll take all the hay bale.
Listen, that's what 4D Chess is here for. You know, we're trying to help you find the hidden gems, and I think we got spreadsheets to let you know what it is.
The first guy that I want to talk about, I mean, we've talked about him, and he should be on your radar already, but at the quarterback position, man, Justin Fields.
Oh, gosh, yes. 23,
28, 32, 25. We all know how bad the first 4 weeks were. But Adam, since then, he has not missed your lineup in best ball. And included in that is a QB5, QB5, QB1, QB1 finish.
Yeah.
4 of those weeks, yep, he's a top 5 option at the position. Holy shit, Mr. Justin Fields. If you can still acquire him, you need to be doing it.
Now, I think I think he's someone you need to try to acquire if you can. It's going to be a lot more difficult today. You do have the potential injury scare, him running a lot. Maybe someone is more worrisome about that. I would say this. I think it's getting to the point now with him, Mike, though. You kind of have to – he's almost a down-tier guy. Like, most people probably aren't going to let you come up and get Justin Fields for anything cheap. Like, you're going to have to be more risky in acquiring him and getting a down-tier, getting a plus on Justin Fields from a more secure quarterback, I think.
I think that's probably the play. I don't know if anybody's going to let you buy him outright anymore.
It feels like those days are over. I mean, hey, if it's the way in your league, go get him. But I'm with you, Mike. It seems like that's few and far between these days.
But, I mean, if we think about it, man, 4 weeks of doing almost nothing and being a detriment and being dead to now he's QB5 in total when we average this out. So if you don't know exactly what we're doing, I rank everybody by the number of consistent weeks. So for quarterbacks and running backs, to be a consistent week means being above average. You're an above average starter in best ball. So for quarterbacks, you need to be, what did I have this at? Top 16, because you start 2 quarterbacks in Superflex, top 16. So yep, there's 24 total. You need to be top 16. Same for running backs. Wide receivers, it's actually top 24 because you usually start 3 wide receivers in every single league. This isn't including flexes. I'm just talking base spots. And then tight ends, since most leagues are just single tight end, there's not a whole lot of 2 tight end leagues out there. But for single tight end leagues to be above average at the position, you need to be top 8 or better. Now, spike weeks, tight ends, the only outlier, top 3 or better. Those are the only ones we really give a shit about spiking. And then for everybody else, top 5 at the position. But for Justin Fields, what we do also is we take the number of spike weeks, and those get weighted a little bit more heavier because, as you know, in best ball leagues or lineup leagues, doesn't matter. When a guy is top 5 at the position, there's a good likelihood that he can almost single-handedly carry your team for that week and win you the week just based on his score. So top 5, we rate spike weeks a little bit higher. Above average weeks are just rated regularly. And then it's combined into a score. And that score combined with the weighted spike weeks and consistent weeks for Justin Fields puts him at QB5 on the year, Adam. QB5. And that's with taking 4 weeks off doing nothing. That's fucking wild. That is absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, if he made your lineup the first 4 weeks, that just means you didn't have a quarterback that mattered. Because week 1, he was 23, so he's, you know, just barely a quarterback too. The other weeks he's not even a quarterback too, right? He's taken the league by storm since then, especially on the ground. He's improved as a passer, so it's not like he's just running. I want to make sure that's clear. But Mike, you know, since week five, you got 12-9-5-5-1-1-7. I mean, I don't know what you want, but that's that is it. Justin Fields, I think, is a guy that you me and you have been very high on him for a while, but I know there's uncertainty for people in the long term, right? What do the Bears look like? How sustainable is this guy running the ball for 10, 15, 18, 20 carries some of these games, right? Taking the hits he did. He's got an injury after last week. I get all of the concerns on the long-term stuff with him, but Mike, here's the thing. There's still a scenario in long-term where he's good and he's talented and he's a guy they drafted in the first round and can make it. But even if you forgo that, even if you're worried about that, what he's doing, we're talking about right now on the smash side of this, one quarterback, super, whatever you're, that's league winning stuff, regardless of what league you play in.
100%, man. Let's talk about some guys that are more easily attainable, like some hidden gems at the quarterback position. The first name, man, Geno Smith. We just talked about Justin Fields. Guess who's right behind him? Geno Smith, of all people. Geno Smith, man. He comes in at QB6 total in the best ball combined score. That is crazy. That's crazy, is it not, Adam? He's QB6?
It is absolutely crazy, man. I mean, what?
Still easily acquirable. Still. Unless he's on somebody's already contending basketball team, then they're just like, nah, man. Well, you can't have him.
I don't want to, you know, give away too much of talking down the list here, but I think here's the crazy part, right? He's one of these weird conundrum ones where it's, okay, we've never seen it before with Geno, right? He's a, I don't know, eighth-year breakout, whatever it is, right? Like,
yeah.
That never happens. So this is a team you didn't expect to be good that actually is leading the division at the moment. I mean, they're right there in the mix. They could win the division. He's playing well. It's like, what do you do with him, right? Because you can't pencil him in as this long-term starter. But he's also playing well enough that who's to say he couldn't? And where do you really value him in trades? Because it's – for people, they feel like he could be gone tomorrow. He turns back into a pumpkin. But the reality is – Mike, I mean, look at his weeks. I mean, you've got – he's actually – this is probably the field being that bad this year. But Geno Smith has been the number one scoring quarterback on a week. I mean, that's insane. If you would have told somebody that in the offseason, everything we – all the bad takes we had, Mike, the hot takes we had would have been nothing compared to you telling Geno Smith would lead the NFL in scoring in fantasy one week. Not to mention he's been top five for 3 weeks. I mean, he's very consistent. I think on a contender, here's the reality, right? In your league, this is what you got to think about with him. If he's on a contending team, like you ain't gonna get him away from Geno Smith's not coming off a contender. But if someone still is out there with a rebuilding team that has Geno Smith and hasn't been able to move him for what they want, go see what it is. I mean, he's someone that can absolutely be a plug and play super flex quarterback for you that helps you win a title at the way he's playing.
He's definitely fallen in that category too, where I don't know what his future holds, but just doing the math on the 23 class and where we're at, like there's a good possibility he still has a job next year in Seattle or at very worst somewhere else. There's just not enough quarterbacks coming into the league to make a difference on all the teams that need to fill quarterback spots. So two more guys that I wanted to highlight before we move on to the running backs, Adam, Marcus Mariota, who I shit talk all the time, and Daniel Jones. But from a fantasy perspective, both of these guys have actually been very good. Marcus Mariota came in at QB 11 and Daniel Jones at QB 13. So both of these guys, I think, even more easily acquirable than Geno Smith. Now, not giving you the exact same production, but they're giving you top part of a super flex league production at quarterback.
Right.
And the cost isn't that much. So if you're looking just to fill out your best ball roster and you could use another quarterback or two, you're not rocking a couple of these studs. Some of these guys at the top, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Joe Burrow. Go out and see if you can add a little bit of depth, because you might be surprised during the fantasy playoffs. They might actually enter your lineup a couple times. Like they have shown it all year. I'm not going to bank my entire future on them. But these guys are sneaky buys right here, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let me ask you this, and this is Dynasty Degenerates. I'm kind of talking out loud here. like it. The reality, I think, with these guys is you're talking about a quarterback landscape that's just bad. So that's across everybody. Everybody in your league is dealing with the same shit. There's all these quarterbacks that you go down this list, Mike. We could read some names that mm-hmm. are good, or we thought were good, that are way down this list. We got a guy. I mean, I don't think anyone was really banking on Zach Wilson for being a contending piece, but people probably have him as quarterback two, quarterback three, and may not have a backup plan. And guess what? He got benched. Not to mention, even if he didn't get benched, he was doing fucking nothing for you. I mean, he's at the bottom of the list here. All that said, you know, with the quarterback landscape the way it is, I think what we're talking about here is hidden gems, but also getting crusty and realizing that the sexy names don't necessarily win you. They're not going to win your league this year necessarily. I mean, there's names down here: Russell Wilson, Tom Brady's not doing much, Matthew Pafford, right? I mean, this guy's doing nothing. There's names that aren't doing much for you. So you got to get into these names, which may not sound sexy for you. You probably were ready to write them off as even starters, but you got to do it.
I mean, a lot of guys, QB2, QB3 in the offseason, right? Justin Herbert, who we all love, QB18 on the year.
That's rough. He's Jimmy G on the sheet.
Exactly. They're adjacent in the spots, man. One other guy, too. I can't forget Matty Ice. And this is a guy who got benched for a couple weeks.
We were told he was never going to play the rest of the year. And then all of a sudden, they get rid of Wright. Jeff Saturday's there. And, oh, he's playing.
If I were to tell you, Adam, before you pulled this list up and saw it, that he would have scored higher than Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, you would have told me I'm insane.
Asinine. Absolutely insane. But here we are,
you can
man.
You can buy Matt Ryan, right? QB 14 in these. You can go out and get you some Matty Ice.
Absolutely buy Matt Ryan.
Yes. Huge, man. All right. Let's go to the running backs, man. Something a little bit better, maybe a little bit less depressing. We don't have too much to talk about the running back position just because most of them are injured. This is what happens with running backs. We've been over it. But the first guy I wanted to highlight, how about the fucking Rhino? Ramondre Stevenson coming in at RB5 on this best ball sheet, Adam. The Rhino with all these catches for a giant running back who's huge, an absolute tank, who just seems to catch all these passes in New England. Pretty incredible for Ramondre Stevenson. I'm in, man. Oh, I want some Ramondre.
I'm in. Just put out a piece of content saying he's somebody you should be looking at the running back position. Don't try to go pay up for a running back. You can look at guys like Ramondre Stevenson, who right now, Mike, he when you look at this chart, it's crazy because, you know, when you talk about the consistent weeks, right? So the consistent weeks they made your lineup, which, Mike, if you want to let everybody know what that is on the sheet, right? It's top 24?
For the running back position, you need to be top 18.
Top 18. Okay. Yep. So if you're a top 18 running back, you are having a consistent week. So
yes.
That's what that means. And here's the thing, Mike. There is only, like, to try to give you guys Dynasty Degenerates actually ways to really – wrap your mind around how good he's been. Now, obviously, these charts are really, like, really useful for best ball, but it's still very important for lineup too. If you're pressing the button on Ramondre Stevenson, it's the same results. For him though, there's only one running back out there that has had more consistent weeks than Ramondre Stevenson, and the guy's name is Saquon Barkley.
That's pretty good company, right?
Pretty good company. I mean, and Saquon, for whatever reason, happened to not only miss your lineup badly, having a horrible week versus Houston last week. But by and large, he's been awesome this year, right? He's as consistent as it comes. Ramondre's in the next tier of consistent guys. Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, and who? The Rhino.
Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah, man. I still think he's easily acquired because you had idiots like us talking down about Ramondre. Like, I'm not buying into this. I'm not drafting him in startups. I don't believe this in the early season. Wait till Damian Harris comes back and then see what it is. All that shit didn't matter, man.
No.
It didn't matter.
And here's the other thing, Mike. Then so our spike weeks, right? Spike weeks and consistency weeks are what is being measured on the sheet, which is how you get your combined score. To be a spike week, you have to be top five at the running back position. Now, here's the thing, right? He's still pretty high on this list with two. He's been week six and week seven. He was the number two and the number five back. But here's the thing I think you really need to think about with him for the cost, right? From what we've seen. Now, these don't technically count as spike weeks, but based on the running back landscape, they're probably winning you weeks where he is inside the top 10, right? So it's not a spike week, but he has three other weeks where he's been inside the top 10, Mike. So, like, this guy's keeping a very good pace with the elite studs out there. And the way that he's being utilized and the fact that I've seen now basically, Mike, since week three, him getting enough work and consistent work with Bill Belichick, that's the main thing with any New England running back that I get fearful of is what kind of fucker are we going to get week in and week out with Hoodie, right? Yeah. He's earned from Bill Belichick the passing work, and he's out there all the time. He's not getting pulled much. So I feel really good about it, man. I feel really good about Ramondre Stevenson. Now, when I say do I feel really good about it, I'm not going to get crazy pay up for Ramondre Stevenson, but I am very interested in acquiring him if I can.
All right. So it's not all sunshines and rainbows here, man. A lot of people, and by a lot of people, I mean me. I'm a lot of people. I may be the guy. Love Travis Etienne. Absolutely enthralled with Travis Etienne. Adam, if I told you he's in the same tier as James Conner, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Kenyon Drake, what do you think about that? He has the exact same fucking score as those guys. And some of them missed multiple weeks and didn't even play football. And Travis Etienne is this far down. The dynasty value, his asking price, is not matching up with what the actual production he's giving you in best ball leagues is. Adam, I think he's a massive sell if I still have a trade deadline open and I have him on a contending team.
Yeah, I would say this. This actually, so I hadn't looked at this sheet. You just updated it, I think, recently. But
a few hours ago, baby.
Yeah, I hadn't seen this, but Mike, this was part of my, when we talk a lot of times and when we're doing shows and content and stuff that, you know, when we talk Travis Etienne and Kenneth Walker, see the difference for me is Travis Etienne is extremely polarizing. He can do it all. He can catch. He has had great games, right? Since earning the backfield, you know, week 7, week 8, week 9, he goes 8-6-3, right? So that's 8th, 6th, and 3 at the running back position those weeks. So you're seeing it at times, but Mike, I mean, then you got a 26 the following week. The week before that, you got 18. All those 5 weeks before that with James Robinson kind of in the fold, he's not doing anything. This is why, for me, with Kenneth Walker, it's so different, Mike. I mean, you're looking at, since he's taken over the backfield week 6, you got 8, 3, 25, 2, 19. Mike, that 19, the one thing everyone said with Kenneth Walker is, this guy can't catch passes, or he's not going to catch passes. So that 19, it doesn't sound that sexy, but that's because they were getting abused. He got to 19 because he actually caught some passes. So for me, that's the big difference with Kenneth Walker and Travis Etienne, who are probably similarly valued by a lot of people. Travis Etienne's definitely a top five running back, I think, by most people's standards and dynasty. I know the landscape's bad, so trading out of a top five running back and getting that haul you maybe once thought you could get for running back doesn't necessarily exist, but I'm with Mike here. As we start talking more gems, the way to get creative about it is you trade away Etienne, who's got a lot more value than a Ramondre, right? And you're getting a plus back. You're talking about trading away for a different type of running back that's you're down tiering at the running back position and picking up another piece or two, a pick, whatever it is, especially in best ball. Even in lineup, I'm for it. But in best ball especially, man, you just compile those assets and you kind of have – you're looking through a crystal ball at what the future probably holds outside of injuries here.
See, the play I like to make, and we've had episodes about this before, but if I had identified that Travis Etienne's a sell and he's overvalued and he's not actually going to help me win my best ball dynasty league, what I'm going for this year, I will trade him away for multiple pieces. And these are easy deals I can get done. Now, you know, I tried to go for Ramondre. We just talked glowingly about him. But you got Tony Pollard on the list. You got Aaron Jones on the list. Josh Jacobs, who people always hate. Jamal Williams is up here. Antonio Gibson is up here as well. Like, these are the kind of pieces where I'm like, let me trade away Travis Etienne and try to get two of these guys. Let me try to get two of
absolutely.
These pieces.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And even if you can't get two, like, let me get one of them at the running back. They're already going to give me better best ball production than Travis Etienne. And then let me go to another position. Let me try to get a wide receiver. Let me get Geno Smith. Let me get Matty Ice. You know, let me get a quarterback spot too. Let me fill something like that as well. Those are deals that you can get done. And you put them on the trade show, and I'll look at them and I'll go, holy shit, man. This is crazy. Can't believe you're doing it. But you actually look at the data and the numbers. It makes sense, and it's actually beneficial to your team. This is why I wanted to do this episode, this final push here, because there's ridiculous values that you can get, and there's a few guys on here that are extremely overvalued that the Dynasty community is not aware of. In best ball, you can exploit this. You can exploit it.
1,000%. So to give you an idea, Devin Singletary has done more for you in best ball than has Travis Etienne. In that same tier, which is just one more consistent game, a very similar back that I think we need to talk about as a sell, and I've kind of been this way for a while, but he's been looking good at times, so I think people have moved away from him being a surefire sell, and that's Dameon Pierce.
Yes.
And Dameon Pierce for me is the same thing, because a lot of people are valuing him as a top 10 dynasty running back. A lot of that's because the landscape's so bad, but Dameon Pierce, Mike, here's the thing about Dameon Pierce. Like, he's getting a lot of the work. He actually does look good. I like watching him play. But when you're seeing his production, right, he's giving you one spike week. He has given you four consistency weeks. So, like, it's not horrible. But where he's valued, Mike, you can do so much more than what Dameon Pierce has given you. And here's the thing about, I think, that Dameon Pierce, what's very weird is, it's a day three pick. Now, he did get the backfield. He's looked great. He could keep it. But it's a day three pick on an offense that isn't good, on a team that's going to probably completely rebuild everything that they have right now. But he's getting a bump in dynasty value because of youth. I don't want to pay for that. I'm not paying for that youth. Forget that. I need production out of Dameon Pierce. His youth, I don't think, actually should carry that much weight. Not saying that he still can't take the backfield, but it's not like they have supreme draft capital invested in him. It's not like they're not going to go a million different directions with this team.
Huge. Absolutely huge, man. I'm with you. Dameon Pierce would be a sell for me. I will capitalize. Looks like we were right all along. And there was a time there I started to get in on Dameon Pierce. You know what I mean? Like, I really started to feel it. Well, looking at this, I'm like, nah, I'm good, man.
I think you're right. For me, it was the same thing. After week five, when they were going into their week six bye, he was running back 9, running back 5, running back 11 those 3 weeks going into the bye. It was exciting, but you're starting to see how bad that offense is and how much work they need. And it's just, I don't think that volume plays even all that great, truthfully.
No. I'm good, man. All right, let's move on to the wide receivers. Something a little bit more sexy.
I like it. Let's do it, man.
The first one I want to talk about, and you did a fabulous video on this man, Christian Kirk. I'm tired of talking about Kirk Cousins as Captain Kirk, man. Christian Kirk is Captain Kirk, man. He's the captain now.
Will the real Kirk please stand up? Christian Kirk.
He's the guy.
He is the guy, man. He's been under the radar for people for a while, even as he's been producing this year. Slept on. There was those 3 weeks, Mike. So he started off the season as a wide receiver 2, the first 3 weeks, right? And then week 4, week 5, week 6, when Lawrence really started to regress and that offense started to regress, he had 3 weeks where he's not doing anything for you and it's getting scary. Then he came back, had a, you know, almost a wide receiver 1, a middling wide receiver 2 week 15, had another scary week. But then the last 2 weeks, Mike, you're seeing this guy post spike weeks. Now, to understand how important that is and how hard that is, because the wide receiver position is so deep, we talk about this a lot on 40 Chess, the wide receiver position runs as deep as it gets. And you could go down, and this is the crazy part, Mike, you have all the way down to Nick Westbrook and Kine, Adam Thielen, Russell Gage, Mac, these guys have spike weeks, right? So like, yes. To understand how crazy it is and how hard it is to have a spike week, Christian Kirk having 2 spike weeks back to back puts him in the top 5 of wide receivers for spike weeks. So while a lot of people probably have Christian Kirk as this, like, yeah, he's good, he's getting volume because he's the number 1 there and the offense doesn't have enough weapons, acknowledge what's happening. There's only a handful of receivers that have even given you more spike weeks. let alone that he's been consistent as they come. I mean, criminally undervalued for me, man. You let me know what you're thinking, but Dynasty Degenerates, I don't know who has Kirk in your leagues. If it's on a contender, you probably can't pluck him, but that's a guy I'm exploring a lot.
The way I like to look at these sheets, man, this is the dumbass in me. And like how I like to keep things simple and stupid and color-coded. You know me, man. I like to keep it really for the common guy when I make this kind of stuff. I don't like to make it too complicated. But when I look at him, I sort by the combined score because I already have the weights in to take account for it. I do have the actual where they are in total fantasy points on the far left column. So they're overall. I don't even really pay attention to that. But when I search by combined score, I just start going down the names, man. The ones that pop off. Okay, Tyreek Hill should definitely be up there, right? Number one wide receiver. Cooper Kupp. Okay. Justin Jefferson. Yep. Davante Adams. Okay. Stephon Diggs. Like, these are all guys I know that should be up here. These guys are really good at football, really good wide receivers. It's when I start to get to the names and I'm going down and I'm like, I'm expecting something else. And I go, Christian Kirk, I didn't think he belonged on this list. Like, that wasn't... I'm like 15 spots away from before I would actually name Christian Kirk if I didn't actually see it. So
yeah.
When I see it, it stands out like a sore thumb, and I'm going,
for sure.
You're telling me he's given me wide receiver six type production in best ball, and he doesn't cost wide receiver six prices. Not even close.
He's barely a top 20-ish guy in keep trade cut.
That's wild, man. That is absolutely wild. Like the guys who come after him, T. Higgins, Jaylen Waddle, A.J. Brown, we know they're good at football, and they're valued that way. Christian Kirk is not valued that way, and that's why he makes the list. That's how I look it up, and I go, man, I think we should go out and buy a lot of Christian Kirk. Like, I should go see what somebody wants for him right now, so I bet I can get a hell of a deal, and Christian Kirk might be an integral piece in this playoff push for me winning a championship. Like, if I'm going to get wide receiver six production in the playoffs, and I got to go out and spend a first, my late first for him, and maybe a throw-in in a best ball league? Holy shit, Adam. I'm making out like a bandit here.
Well,
absolute steal.
Listen, and so you know this isn't just cap or you know me coming on here and telling you this when I have a spreadsheet in front of me telling you, oh, yeah, this makes sense. If you haven't been plugged in the newsletter, I'm going to give a nice little newsletter plug right now. We've been telling you every week, whether it's on here, start shit, wherever it is, go subscribe to the newsletter. Free 99, good information. I'm sure there's been some stuff in there that hasn't been that great that I've given you. However, I'm going to go plug a week, Mike. This is going into week 5, so after week 4. My article on Beyond the Mic was basically not staying attached to a player and was pretty much about how down-tiering using Barry's warp data, right? You can use that warp data in down-tiers combined with keep, trade, cut, or whatever your league mates are using to value players. And talking about de-risking, Mike. So I happen to use the example of A.J. Brown and Christian Kirk. At the time, their warp was very similar. And if you look at this sheet, Mike, what's crazy is people probably were like, oh, that's a stupid article that he wrote, because there was 3 weeks there where A.J. Brown was smashing and Christian Kirk gave you nothing. But now, when you look at this sheet, Mike, I think you already alluded to it. Like, Christian Kirk has given two spike weeks, A.J. Brown one. The A.J. Brown had that amazing game. Like, he probably won you a week, but he's only done top five that week. Christian Kirk's actually been a top five wide receiver twice. They have the same amount of consistency weeks. So Christian Kirk's beating A.J. Brown in the best ball table. He's giving you very similar warp. You were able to tear down. So that's the thing. You can go from A.J. Brown, you probably still could now, but you definitely could back then, for a generic first. And with that first and liquidity, if you listen to the past episodes we've talked about, how big of a deal is that now? Because you have A.J. Brown, right? We saw him come out gimpy out of that step, right? Like, I love A.J. Brown, the talent. Don't get me wrong. But if I can get Christian Kirk to give me similar warp, similar spike and consistency weeks, and I also have the first, now even if somehow Christian Kirk gets hurt, I can go get a receiver somebody else. With A.J. Brown, if he makes a wrong step and misses time like we've seen before, you've got nothing. You've got to sell light on a very supreme player. You don't have to. You can get a first and get the exact same production. And I wrote that in the article week 4. So it is a little pat on the back, but really it's more so to tell you that go get the newsletter subscription. If you are listening to this podcast and you're not subscribed to the newsletter, I'm promising you I'm not the only one writing good stuff in there. Everybody on this team writes great stuff in the newsletter. Go subscribe, man.
Here's the ultimate, right? Here's the 4D chess way. You get Christian Kirk in the first for your AJ Brown. And then you take that first and you go buy Ramondre Stevenson at the running back spot. Ta-da.
Boom.
Now you got two top six options at running back and wide receiver heading into the playoffs, and nobody's the wiser until you're hoisting that belt, you're taking their money, and you're posting all the memes in chat about how you're the greatest dynasty best ball player that's ever lived. Congratulations.
When your league mates are playing chess, play 40 chess.
Let's go. All right. One guy I wanted to cover on here, but we've talked about him way too much. If everybody seems to be talking about it, it's Amari Cooper. He's high on the list. He's wide receiver 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked almost ad nauseum. If you haven't gone out and tried to buy Amari Cooper at this point, you kind of been asleep. If your league's still sleeping, definitely do it. But I didn't want to dive into him because there's a guy in the same tier tied with Amari Cooper, comes in at wide receiver 11. And people don't really like this guy, and that is one Tyler Lockett.
Well, and it's I'm fully with you. I think this has been a sneaky buy, especially in best ball, even in lineup. I mean, you're seeing what the results are, but in lineup, people are probably still fearful. But here's the problem. The reality of this is what we talked about in the quarterbacks is the exact same thing here, right? Everybody that was off of Tyler Lockett was he doesn't have a quarterback and get him the ball. You didn't believe in Geno Smith. So it was a double whammy. You not believing in Geno Smith makes you not believe in Tyler Lockett. Now they're both hitting, right? And the crazy part is you could get – here's another great part in best ball, Mike. You can get that stack criminally cheap. Cheap.
Bro, do you think a single first gets you that stack?
I think by a non-savvy best ball player, a single first easily gets you that stack. You might even get them to throw in some dog shit third player for that first, you know?
All right, let's go. Go do that.
Could you get him to throw in, I don't know, Greg Dortch, who actually just had a good little week? Like,
Why not?
Throw in some other random piece, some turd.
Why not? Pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Let me go get a Greg Dortch. Let me go get a Paris Campbell. And who else is down here a ways? Mac Hollins
was free everywhere. I mean,
like I looked out of this list too. Like I saw Nick Westbrook Akide. We saw that week a couple weeks ago. Top five wide receiver on the week. That's not really the kind of guy. Like you know, I'll roster him, but that's not a guy I'm actively going. Like when I get down this far in wide,
you don't
receiver,
want to buy him. No,
I want to buy the guys who are consistent. Right, well, like the guys who have the consistent weeks. So Greg Dortch is a perfect one that you had mentioned, but another one down here, like Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Great,
whatever
great call.
People think about him.
Yep.
Let me go try to get that kind of guy. If we go down to the guys who only have two, DeAndre Carter, like something like that. Those are the kind of like toss ins that
I had him sitting around on a bunch of teams just because you get to that roster 39 guys. It's like, all right, I'll take DeAndre Carter. You switch
the guys,
teams, I'll take him.
The guys that I really don't want to get, it hurts me to say this, man, because I've been a fan for a while, but like Zay Jones.
Can we talk, though, about a couple people on here? I'm sorry. Go ahead. You finish what you're going to say.
No, I just mean when you're looking for that throw-in player, when I look at this list, that's what I'm looking at is how high are you on this list if you're a crappy name? Like mm-hmm. You're not the sexiest wide receiver name in best ball. And why are you on the list? Are you on the list because you had 1 week where you went off and then you haven't done fuck all for the rest of the year? Mm-hmm. Or are you on this list just because you're not necessarily going to spike because it's hard to do at the wide receiver position, but are you consistent? Do you have multiple above average weeks? Like, is there a possibility you're going to enter my lineup multiple times instead of just one on a whim? So when you're talking about the throw-in kind of wide receiver guy, in that theoretical stack trade that we're going to go make for Geno Smith, Tyler Lockett, and get a toss in, that would be the kind of throw-in that I'd want.
1,000%. Now, when we get down to this list, because it's always fun to talk about the what does Ray call it? The dog shit best ball darts, I think is what it is, right?
Yes, yeah.
So, like, the dog shit best ball darts are always fun to talk about. But I think this is where, like, I think there's a disconnect sometimes with the way we talk about wide receivers in the best ball landscape versus how they're viewed in the lineup landscape. Because now listen, we've clearly admitted that we were too bullish on running back and that it's shown that it's very fragile this year, especially with the crop of guys in there. And you can get replacement level points. We've kind of admitted that. But I think the thing to think about with wide receiver here is this. Like, you're looking at a lot of the guys you draft in the first three, four rounds that are killing it with the combined, you know, whether it's average weeks or spike weeks. But here's what happens is there's a lot of these wide receivers that have a lot of the name value that are absolutely replaceable by literally, Mike, by Greg Dortch or Curtis Samuel or Darius Slayton. And this is what's interesting, Mike. When Dynasty Genius, when you hear the names, like, really take pause and think about this for a second, okay? So, obviously, like, we know DJ Moore has been dog shit with no quarterback, but he's actually not the worst of the guys you might think on this list. I mean, you go down, Mike, Chris Godwin, a guy we dunked on. Like, think about this even from the lineup lens, too. Chris Godwin has been a consistent week twice. So he's given you a wide receiver 20 and a wide receiver 13, right?
That's it.
Mike, he's been, you know, in the upper 20s a handful of times. But here's the thing, right? That doesn't help you win in best ball. And I'll be honest with you, that doesn't help you win in lineup either. Like,
Not really. I mean, you do have, like, those random guys during that week that nobody in your league started that you're not playing against that you could take those out in a lineup league.
Sure.
The difference is in a best ball league, somebody played them because the computer automatically does it for you, right? You know what I mean? So
1,000%.
If you look at wide receiver 28, it may actually be like wide receiver 23 in a lineup league. Like, there might be five turd wide receivers that aren't even rostered.
No,
that factored into that.
Understood, but my point is not necessarily that. I'm fully with you, by the way. I get it. Like, there's a bunch of turds that can go into your lineup in best ball. That's not going to be the nobody starting Noah Brown, Josh Reynolds, unless it's on our start shit show when they ask us questions and they're like, yeah, you got to start, you know, Josh Reynolds or something. No one's starting those guys, Demir Bird. But here's the thing: even in lineup, you're pressing the button on Chris Godwin every single week. Those are not to a detriment. Those are very replaceable points. Like, you can find that other places. You got plenty of receivers on here, Mike, that I think their names are valuable, but why? Like, for example, Drake London. We know what's happened with Drake London. But even Drake London, who we thought started really well, did he? I mean, he had a top 12 week in week two.
And that's it.
That's it, man. Like, Drake London, I love the upside of him and his talent, but Mariota's actually winning them games. We don't know what the situation is going to be next year. If you're a contender and you're holding Drake London, you need to ask yourself why. He's still valued as a top 15 receiver. You have a chance to probably get out of him at a very, very nice return back. And I love him, but are you holding him in a contender? Like, you got to think long and hard about that, man.
Drake London's producing in best ball the same way that Laviska Shenault's producing in best ball.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this, real talk, because this is the best ball disconnect, right? We had that trade with Rojo Fish, right?
Yes.
So it was two firsts, 2 seconds, and Darnell Mooney, correct?
Yes.
There were 23, 24, 23, 25 maybe the second was, and then the Darnell Mooney. But let me say this. On that trade show, there was a lot of pushback, like, oh, it's Darnell Mooney, stinks, all this, and, you know, those picks you can recoup later. Okay, what if we told you that the name was Drake London instead of Darnell Mooney?
Mm-hmm.
How much different does that trade look, and how much more pushback does that other side get now? Because they're the same thing in best ball. They're the exact same thing. They both have had a wide receiver 12 week.
That's it.
Like, I don't want to, you know, this isn't a wide receiver hating thing. You know, I'm just telling you that when you look at it from the best ball side of things, because this position runs so deep and because you can roster all of wide receiver 35 to 70, 80, 90, hell, 100 even, right? And you can take all those shots. That is the replaceable it's the most replaceable position in best ball because you can have 14 average Joes. I mean, you could easily have a lot of these guys in here that didn't cost you. Josh Palmer's a best ball darling right now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, Paris Campbell, best ball darling. Rondale Moore, if you couldn't move him and you stash him, Darius Slayton, these guys are all way ahead of, you know, Chris Godwin's and Drake London's and other good wide receivers of the world. So It's just another reminder of, in best ball, I think, the elite wide receivers are mattering, right? Like, if Cooper Kupp had stayed healthy, Tyreek Hill, what he's doing, Justin Jefferson, you know, these guys are awesome. But, like, you got to really be careful of which receivers are producing and that have that huge dynasty value versus, you know, if they have that dynasty value but they're not producing for you in best ball, man, you are sitting on dynasty value that's going to no use.
Scott's doing this fantastic series, Destination Dynasty, on Mondays that comes out about roster construction. And I listen to it, and it's absolutely fantastic, but I do have to remember there is a vast difference between lineup and best ball, and you're seeing it right here, Adam. Where Scott's talking about in his roster construction, the optimal way is to have those top 50 producers or dynasty values at the wide receiver position. Adam, you see here, like, some of these guys who are in the top 50 don't even fucking matter. Like, I guarantee you there's some of these guys I don't even have on the list. And then conversely, when he's going to running backs, like, it's a hero RB, or it's, you know, the hashtag any RB on 53. Like, I get that for lineup, man, and I'm fully on board with what Scott's doing. You just have to remember, when you talk best ball, it's almost the exact opposite, man. You want there's a finite amount of elite running backs that I want to take a shot on, because these are the guys who are going to produce. Yes, you will have the occasional Jamal Williams. You will have the occasional
Ramondre.
Like, even Ramondre is like a ninth round.
He's
guy.
More of
like
a mid-round target, right?
You know what I mean? But like these guys way far out.
Sure.
15th, 16th, 17th round that nobody cares about. You will have those occasional guys, but they're not that often, man. Because
you're talking this year, you're looking at guys like Deontay Foreman, Khalil Herbert. Those are the types, and there's not that many of them when you start really creeping up. Jamal Williams.
No.
That's really it as far as the top 30 go.
The wide receiver position, man, if I compare the top 50 of like dynasty values to what the top 50 of actual best ball producers are, very different, man. Because you're getting dudes like Paris Campbell in the top 50. Alan Lazard was definitely outside of that. Darius Slayton is on this fucking list. Darius Slayton, man. Josh Palmer. You just talked about him just a little bit ago. It's like, wow.
Yep.
Wow. Greg Dortch. Yep. MVS, Romeo Dubs coming out of nowhere. A guy that we absolutely love in best ball, consistent producer. I still love this guy, Jacoby Myers, right? Like, he just gets up there.
Let's talk about Tua. Like, I think this is where best ball especially is so interesting to me. Like, I'm looking at a guy who's inside the top 20. And when you think about him being inside the top 20, that's so wild for the spike in consistency weeks. Because this guy didn't play football for the first 6 weeks. We only played 11 weeks of football. Like, in best ball, hell, DeAndre Hopkins? My God. Mike, I'm not going to drop names, but I've seen this guy go for third-round picks multiple times throughout the year and the offseason.
Yikes.
He was going well outside the top 9 rounds. I mean, he was, you know, he creeped up as the summer went along, but I saw him go in the double-digit rounds. A lot of times people were ready to say he's done, he's cooked, he's toast. This is a best ball winner, man. Where you drafted him, where you whatever you paid for him, he is going to help you win a best ball league. Mike, since he's played, his worst finish is a consistency week at 21. He's been top 12, top 12, top 8, and number 2. Like, that's a guy you could have targeted in best ball. Once you pick your direction, right, in a startup, you say, all right, you know what, I'm committed. Nuke Hopkins. I'll wait out the 6 weeks. I'll get dirt cheap production elsewhere. That's absolutely league winning.
Yeah. Yeah. One last question for you specifically. I got to do it. Will you see where Chris Olave's at on this list? Do you have a little bit more respect for him?
Oh, I got no disrespect for the guy. He's six spike week or six consistency weeks, no spike weeks. Garrett Wilson is zero spike weeks, three consistent weeks. So still, once again, it's going to be Garrett Wilson for me as wide receiver one in the class. But I fully understand it, man. Fully understand it.
One of our only disagreements that we have. But I love it. We got to ride this one into the dirt.
Love it, man. I love it.
I'll tell you who
Garrett Wilson's certainly ahead of for both of us now, or should be.
Drake London. This should not be a question at this point.
True.
Not at all. Not at all. Let's finish it off with the tight end position. And Adam, I wanted to start it off with, when I pulled this up, man, I had Zach Ertz on a lot of teams, and I didn't appreciate how good Zach Ertz is. You see how high Zach Ertz is on this list for best ball, and how much of a value he was. What a devastating fucking loss for our tight end position on our contenders if you lost Zach Ertz.
Yeah, patron,
absolutely brutal.
The patron best ball league, right? My first best ball league, the patron best ball league. I got Zach Ertz from you in a deal, and that was really helping me in that league.
Yeah.
Start two tight ends. I mean, that is devastating. Devastating to start two tight ends for me.
Tight end
Mark,
four.
Mike, you know who my other tight end in that league is too? Dallas Goedert.
Oh, no.
Yep. There's a contender right there, buddy. So let's talk tight ends now.
Tight ends. I wanted to point out how devastating it was for Zach Ertz. I mean, tight end four through 11 weeks, right? And one of those week 10, you know, he gets hurt. He gets hurt. It misses most of the game. Who knows where he would have finished if he stayed healthy and then just didn't play week 11 for the rest of the season, right? He might even been even a little bit higher on this list because he's at a 6.33. George Kittle is just in front of him, 6.66, and that's coming off of this massive week that he just had on Monday night. But Zach Ertz, I wanted to point out, man, what an incredible value he was for the tight end position. It just really stinks that we lost. But not here to reflect on the past too much. Let's talk about how we can correct this and what you can buy going forward to help you in the playoffs. And Adam, man, I am really glad I have made these moves. I have made these moves losing Zach Ertz. I think I posted back-to-back deals that were exactly the same. And it's me going out and acquiring one Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, I wish I would have aggressively tried to buy him a couple more times. He was a guy I had laying around in a lot of best ball teams, and that's probably why I didn't do it more from the portfolio side, but I should have been trying to buy more of him as he's been coming on, man.
He has been incredible. So he's got one spike week, four above average weeks. He comes in. I couldn't believe this, man. It's Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. And guess who's next?
Juwan Johnson. That'd be my perfect replacement for both those dead guys, you know?
Let's go, man. And he doesn't cost anything at all. Actually, those deals I got done, I'm sending away like Zach Ertz and a fourth to get Juwan Johnson.
Gotta love it. You gotta love that, man.
Talk about a bailout. Talk about an absolute bailout. But I do have one more on the list that I think you can get. And this is more for coming on strong here as of late. At the tight end position, it is really gross. And that's going to be Dalton Schultz. You look at the last three weeks that he has played, tight end 5, tight end 3, and then this last week, tight end 20. But you can see the rapport with Dak Prescott.
No question.
And I don't think this is almost like your one-for-one Zach Ertz replacement. Like, they almost look the same. They run the same. It's like the same body type. They kind of play the same. So
yep.
You go out and you get yourself some Dalton Schultz, and I don't think the price is necessarily going to be too detrimental to your team for the playoff push, but that is a guy I'm actively targeting. No. If you can't pull off the Juwan Johnson, there's some truther out there, or they're paying attention. If they're not paying attention, fleece them. Fleece them, Adam. For the tight end position for the playoff push, to get a guy like Juwan Johnson, what are you willing to give up in a best ball? Like, what is your max where you're like, I just want to get this done because I need this tight end production.
You're talking one tight end league or two tight end league?
One tight end league. Two tight end, man, you pay even more.
Well, that's what I'm that's why I'm asking. I'd send a couple thirds. I'd send, you know, maybe a different tight end back to the guy in a third, something like that. Are you willing to pay a second, Mike? I guess is the question that really gets to the point of is it worth it?
No question. No question about it. I wasn't until tonight, man. Until I made this list and I'm going, holy shit, man, I can't believe he is ranked this highly. And this is coming on the this isn't like he did it early in the season, right? So if I look at some of these tight ends like Tyler Higbee, for example. Comes in at tight end 15, but most of that production was early in the season, right? He was doing that earlier in the year when Allen Robinson wasn't a thing. The offense wasn't that great, but it was a much more competent offense. Right. The offensive line wasn't super banged up. He wasn't asked to block as much. Like, I don't put as much stock into those guys, especially at the tight end position that did it early in the year. I'm looking for these guys who are coming on late now. And Juwan Johnson's basically done all of this in the last 5 weeks. So week seven on. Yeah. You know, he had that massive spike week where he's tight end two, then tight end 36. So you're like, okay, it was just a fluke. But then he comes back and he strings off 8, 4, and 6. Like, that is something to pay attention to.
It really
at the
tight
end position.
It really is.
And for him overall to be this high, it's also an indictment on the tight end position as a whole. But that is a guy that I'm more actively trying to target than, like, say, like the Tyler Higbee type. Or another good one on here, Gerald Everett, right? All his production has been at the beginning of the year, and he hasn't really done fuck all since. So,
right, yep.
That's not the type of guy I want to buy. So when you ask, like, what's the max you'd pay for Juwan Johnson? I got that second, man. I'm sending it. Buy. Like, give me the tight end because I know it's going to give me an advantage over my league mates because they're going to be struggling. You know, you got some guy who maybe just lost Kyle Pitts, or, you know, they're starting Pat Freiermuth and they're thinking they're okay. Like, they got Patty F and some other, like, Will Disley. You know how the best ball tight end lineups go. Where you're like, oh, I'll be fine. I'm getting an advantage week in, week out by starting Juwan Johnson over you. And in the playoffs, I'm trying to get every single edge I can to beat you down.
Yeah, I mean, that one's tough, man. I like what I've seen out of Juwan Johnson. Because when you get to that second, right? Now, if it's mine and I have a really good best ball team and I feel really confident about being in the semis or the, you know, the finals, but yeah, I get it. You're just going to take it. But the thing with him is, you know, he is having a lot of his points propped up by touchdowns, which, hey, he can keep replicating them. But my only worry is when I start paying a second round pick, like, we're talking, that's a really valuable pick. So it's kind of one of those where you're just betting that he's going to continue to be this touchdown machine. And I like the way he runs. So this is a former wide receiver that's basically got a bulky wide receiver build, right? Which is what allows him to be such a nice weapon for the Saints here. But I think that's where I would probably pause. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but that's like where it's okay. This is basically top dollar for me. And is my team positioned well enough to where it makes sense to actually forego what that future value could be?
I get it. I get it. Maybe that's a move where you also bank on, like, a guy like Foster Moreau farther down the list.
There you go.
The last 2 weeks, you know, he had a consistent week. He didn't do anything last week. Devontae Adams went nuclear, but 6 and then 22, 19, 13 the week before. So he does kind of have a little bit of a trend, but, like, give me Juwan Johnson and Foster Moreau in a best ball league, and I'll give you my second. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Package one of these other turds in there as well.
Yep.
And see what you can get.
I like that a lot better too.
You know, and that's another guy that doesn't cost you. Like, people aren't going to be thinking, like, oh man, I'm giving up so much with Foster Moreau. Like,
right.
They're going to look at it and go, I'm giving you two turd tight ends that I don't believe in.
Exactly.
For a second total.
Those are, now listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't pay a late second if I had to and it made sense on my teams. I just think that I like, especially when I have to construct the contending pieces, like, let me go ahead and get multiple shots. So also I'm not, I'm kind of de-risking myself too. Like, what if Juwan Johnson, A, comes back to earth, or B, gets hurt? Like, I burnt a second round pick, right? Not saying I still wouldn't do that at the right time, but if I can get, like you said, multiple dart throw good tight ends for a cheaper option, I'm more inclined to do that a lot of times.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't look at the tight end position. We all know it's bad, but to see Kyle Pitts down at tight end 17.
And injured. It's,
oh my, man. I mean, he's just ahead of guys like Will Disley and Austin Hooper, you know, super mainstays, super great talents at the tight end position.
Honestly, man, this has been, he's been one of the very disappointing ones for me. I have quite a few of them this year, unfortunately, but he's one that just, I didn't expect, see, I think a lot of people expected him to, like, replicate that same production and be like a top three tight end. I didn't necessarily expect that, But there was no way after what I saw last year, even with Mariota, that I was expecting him to not be a top 5-8 tight end. Like, this guy's in lineup, not, you can't trust him. Like, to say that you can't trust him in lineup, you can't push the button week in and week out, that was one of the more unexpected ones for me this year, honestly. I was very, very bullish on Kyle Pitts at least being reasonably good at the tight end position this year.
So just something to keep in mind too, looking at the list as a whole, just a little fine nugget for you since we're on the tight end position. Really the only two that matter, Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. And this should tell you how much Travis Kelce is. So the scoring is the same across, right? We're just looking at position and where they finished. You get it's the same weight. Nothing changes, right? Travis Kelce got a 19.64. There's only one other player in the league that has a 19.64. And that's Josh Allen. The quarterback position, man. That should tell you how important, how much Travis Kelce is helping you win your best ball leagues too. But he just comes out and dominates every single week.
But I would say it's even more so than Josh Allen, because here's the thing, right? When you look at replaceable options, like Josh Allen, you got quarterback 2 and quarterback 3 are 17.98. Then you got 13.32, right. 12.3. You got several 10s. Mike, at tight end right now, you have 19.64 Travis Kelce in the combined score, which means, like, think about this for a second. He's played 10 weeks of football. They've had a bye already. He has 9 consistent weeks and 8 spike weeks.
Yeah.
He's 19.64. Mark Andrews, most people's tight end 1, is half of that, 10.32. After that, Mike, 6.6 with Kittle. 6.3 with Zach Ertz, who's not around anymore. Dallas Goedert at 5 is not playing. The next tight end after Mark Andrews, George Kittle, is Juwan Johnson. So to understand, not only is it giving you that crazy warp, there's no replaceable options that are anywhere near the breadth of him.
No.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous and fascinating how difference-making Travis Kelce is. It's ridiculous.
We will have a trade on the trade show that comes out on Saturday, the premiere on our YouTube channel, about with Travis Kelce in it. And it's just this weird dilemma where his production is worth so much more than what you're ever going to get in a trade for him. And just by happenstance, if you have somebody in your league who's a middling contender or on the fringe, at least explore what they want for Travis Kelce. Like, see if they want to get off of him because of the age. Because if you're a contending team and you can go get Travis Kelce, that will win you your league. Like, that will win you your league. Lineup, best ball, doesn't fucking matter. Just go get Travis Kelce if that's possible.
1,000%.
He's ridiculous.
I said that on the trade show we just did before this, and it's I think there's a lot of players in Dynasty that get to that point where their production will outweigh what they're ever worth in a trade. But I don't think the warp side of it rings any more discrepancy. Like, it doesn't ring more true for any player than Travis Kelce for what he means to a shallow position, where his production so far in a way is different than what his dynasty value is, plus it's at the position of tight end. I don't think I'll ever see a trade go through on the Dynasty Trade Show on any one of these where, like, you're like, okay, someone paid what the 19.64 combined score is for Travis Kelce and Dynasty. You'll never see that.
You know, I like to experiment for the people, man. I make some trades to prove some points. I make some trades just to try out different strategies to see what it would take to do certain things in leagues. Like, I'm not afraid to. I play in 30 plus leagues. I don't even remember how many now. So if I screw one up, it's not the worst thing. This is where we talk about the benefits of having a portfolio, where you can be a little bit more risky, right? If you only play in 2-3 leagues or less, I wouldn't do this in every league because maybe it's not optimal or suboptimal, but I want to figure it out. I think I want to go out and I think in some of these best ball contenders, if I got some draft picks laying around, I might mess around and see if I can't just pry a Travis Kelce out of another contender's hand if they have him. for something like two firsts or two firsts in a, you know, like a massive overpay.
Yeah.
One, I think he's worth it. Two, winning the championship, I could care less about the picks. Like, we're almost at the point, if I built a good contending piece, to get Travis Kelce on a team, on a best ball team.
Go with Kittle in a first and something, maybe even just to do
like
a point.
Like something massive overpay and just see what it would take to actually, you know, people go like, oh, he's untradeable. Let me find out.
he's untradeable because no one ever is going to give you the Godfather offer, basically, right? Yeah. Someone comes with the Brinks truck and it's like, hey, how untradeable is he? Let's see what he says.
Like, I give you 23, 24, and 25 first. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine if one of our patrons came to us and they were like, hey, I'm a contender. Somebody just offered me three firsts for Travis Kelce, though. Be like, you're crazy not to take it. Go ahead and do it right now. Adam, I want to see if I can actually do it. And the crazy part is he's worth it.
Well, that's the thing.
He's been worth it.
Well, and see, this is why, like, sometimes when you make predictions – based on the information at hand, you don't have the whole picture because things change. This offseason, we're worried about, okay, all the elite tight ends have started to kind of take a step back when they get to his age at 32, 33, right? And we've looked at that, and then it's like, well, they still have Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill gets traded. Think about it. Like, when Travis Kelce has had multiple 100-yard games, a 4-touchdown game and a 3-touchdown game.
Yeah.
Those are difference making numbers at receiver.
Yeah.
Even if he starts to slow down as far as his athleticism, he's tied to, in my opinion, we can debate all you want about Josh Allen and, you know, Justin Herbert or whoever you think there. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. And to have that pairing, I think that only helps his ability to hang around and be this difference making, man. So
absolutely incredible, buddy. I hope everybody learned something today with this episode. I know I did. I made the damn list. I made the spreadsheet, and I've done it before. And Adam, while I'm making it and I'm getting everything sorted and color coded, and I'm going, holy cow, we need to talk to the people. We need to talk to the Dynasty Degenerates. Listen here, Dynasty Degenerates. We got some important information. I hope you can go out and try to make some of these moves. Trust me when I say I will be doing the exact same. The benefit of doing this on Wednesday night and then having Thanksgiving is I have tomorrow off. I have nothing but time to watch football and send out all these offers before this episode airs on Friday. And all my league mates hear it and go like, oh, oh, I'm going to do the same. The downside is, buddy, I play in like 17 or 18 leagues with you, and sometimes we're competing. So, don't snipe my guys, man.
I wish I could say the same right back to you. You know, stay off my guys. All right. Also, I just wanted to say this too, not to get on this guy's jock here or anything, but like to give you one last piece here. So I told you Travis Kelce has 8 spike weeks, right? Mark Andrews has 4. He's been injured. Like, he's probably the one guy that could keep pace in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Outside of that, so understand George Kittle, Cole Kmet, Tyler Conklin, Taysom Hill. That's it. That's end of list of guys that have 2, right? So you're talking 5-6 guys that have 2 spike. He's got quadruple the amount of spike weeks in 11 weeks that the other tight ends that matter. Like, outside of Andrews, it's absolutely insane how he's destroying the field. Like, he is such a league winner and difference maker. Outside of him getting hurt, like, if, you know, RIP if that would happen. But if he does not get hurt, he is going to give you it's the biggest edge out there, I think, right now, by far in all positions. So I hope all this did help you. But that, it's been eye-opening just to see different numbers other than just the points per game on how ridiculous Kelce is.
He's got 3 more spike weeks than Mark Andrews has consistent weeks.
Right, exactly. Who's number 2 in consistent weeks.
He's got 8 spike weeks. Mark Andrews has 5 consistent weeks total. Like, that's the crazy thing.
It's
fucking crazy, man.
It's absolute cheat code. It literally is like video game stuff. You create a player and it's just like you can't stop him. That's what Travis Kelce is.
At this point, man, if he stays healthy throughout the fantasy playoffs, like every team that wins the championship more than likely, it's going to be something like 60-70% ownership of fantasy championship teams will have Travis Kelce on.
Yeah, he will be absolutely one of the highest, if not the highest, on teams that roster for the championship teams. Anyway, there you go, Dynasty Generates. Might as well go see. It's probably not going to be sold because everyone else is going to be listening to this on Friday too, and they're not going to want to move Kelce either. But explore it. See what it would cost. If you're a true contender and you have to overpay, that's probably one spot that could actually lock you a title. So if it's possible to pry them from someone's cold, dead hands, do it. Otherwise, man, we talked about all the different positions, values, people that are being slept on, people that are overrated. Use all this to your advantage. This is the whole idea of 4DHS in multiple different ways. We try to bring edges to you for your dynasty gaming, for your trades, for your thought process, whether you're rebuilding, contending. But utilize all this information. Do with it what you will. And just remember, when your league mates are playing chess, play 4DHS.
And that's going to do it. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week.
Peace.
Thank you.